How many here know what the term being woke is? I know what the term being woke is. There's a few. Okay. It's a term you'll hear a lot in the news often now, especially it's been around for a long time, but especially since AOC was elected as a representative to New York and the squad members, you hear a lot about being woke. The term being woke is a certain mindset we will see and has seen over the past several months. Today, I want to talk about being woke and what happens to you when you are woke. The title of the sermon today is, Are You Woke or Are You Awake? Are you woke or are you awake? Merriam-Webster Dictionary Online defines woke this way, quote, a state of being aware, especially of social problems as racism and inequality. The Urban Dictionary Online defines it this way, quote, the act of being very pretentious about how much you care about a social issue. And as one contributor to the Urban Dictionary, they allow you to add stuff to it. One contributor put it this way, it's like being aware of the truth behind the things the man doesn't want you to know. Now, if all of us, there's a bunch of us here a little older, you remember the 70s and the man. I'd think about that, laugh about that. I remember talking to how the man doesn't want you to do this. Well, it's pretty similar. But really being woke is viewing everything in our society through social injustice and racism. Everything is viewed that way. And I do mean everything, no matter how large, no matter how small. I'll give you a few examples over the last, these are just basically over the last few months. You ever ate an Eskimo pie? Anybody? Yeah, not bad. They're good. Well, you know, last spring they had to change their name because evidently the word Eskimo is offensive to somebody. So they changed your name. I don't know why. Uncle Ben's rice, can't have it anymore. Somebody, again, said it's offensive to someone. I don't know who. Last June, Quaker Oats decided to, quote, to make progress towards racial equality, they were getting rid of any Aunt Jemima products. Any Aunt Jemima. And the bad thing about that was the woman, Aunt Jemima, I think she was the first black millionaire or something like that. And all her relatives made money off this. So for racial equality, we cut their money off. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? You ever play chess? Anybody ever play chess? I played chess when I was in high school. I loved playing chess. It was great. You know, you got two sides, kings and queens on both sides. One side is black, one side is white. Okay. Whoever gets the white chess goes first, at least in the first game. In the second game, we usually play whoever lost. Well, to a woke person, that is a racist game because the white player chess goes first. That is crazy. And I'll read, this is an article I read, and I wish I'd have wrote down. I don't know if it was from Vogue or one of those type of magazines. About 4 months ago, two young women wrote that they were exhausted. They've been up all night. The last several weeks, they've been up partying all night, and they were so tired. And then it dawned on them something. Sleeping is racist. Because they were up all night, they were partying all night, of their own choice, of course. But they claimed they were tired and worn out because only privileged people get to rest. Therefore, sleeping is racist. They stayed woke too long. That's an example of being woke. National Association of Realtors. And you probably heard this, they took the phrase master bedroom out anymore. You cannot have a master bedroom because somebody's going to get offended by it. Someone's going to trigger someone. Because a woke person sees everything is wrong and must be changed. You probably heard a couple weeks ago, or I think it was last week, the news reports how the leaders of the House of Representatives, what they were going to do, they're going to eliminate all gender pronouns. It means no one is able to say such horrible, horrible words like mother, father, brother, sister, and uncle. You cannot say that. Just not going to be allowed. Which, again, that leads to the problem of being woke is, again, you all know what the cancel culture is. Cancel the Urban Dictionary. We'll go back to that again. It says, quote, a desire to cancel a person or a community from social platforms. It's characterized by the response of an evil individual when they are shown to be wrong. They will call upon their followers to report the social media accounts of a person or group that did the criticizing rather than discuss the criticism or by showing evidence where the criticism is incorrect. In other words, they will bully anyone online who does not agree with their point of view. Now, we heard a lot about that last week, haven't we? They're not willing to discuss the problem because they're always right. And the other person is always wrong. So why bother discussing? Just cancel them out. You know, if a person, and this comes into fact, a person on the news, if a person wrote something 20, 30, 40 years ago that is not politically correct now, they must be canceled. They must be canceled. They must be fired. They must be kicked out of a job. And they must be bullied into whatever the woke person decides. It doesn't matter what it was. Years ago, someone wrote a tweet years ago, it's unacceptable now. You must cancel the person out. And this just happened recently, and I don't know if you've heard or not in the news, where a 15-year-old girl said she sang some words of a rap song, which were obviously not really that great because most rap music isn't. But as a 15-year-old, she sent it out to some of her friends. 4 years later, she became a cheerleader for a college, and it was up in Tennessee, for which she chose. At that time, this particular one person held on to it. And he released that clip of what she said and the words she said in that little clip at 15. It went viral, and the university made her withdraw because all the flack they got on. Because of the cancel culture. And the worst thing about it, the gentleman, and I'll use that term loosely, very loosely, who did it was so happy that he got her canceled. He said it taught her a lesson. And this is a 15-year-old girl. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll start in verse 34. It is a very serious thing. And sometimes young people forget, anything you put on the internet is there forever. Forever. But this same cancel culture is out to destroy the Bible as well. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll start in verse 34. Remember, if anything that is written by someone at any time is not politically correct now, every single thing they wrote must be discarded. And as we know, Paul wrote some things that probably aren't politically correct today. 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. Let your women keep silent in churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Well, obviously Paul hates women. Obviously, right? I mean, he can't say that without hating women. He believes in oppressing women, right? It says right there. Therefore, what? Everything Paul has written must be discarded. That is the way the culture, you know, woke person, the cancel culture views it. Everything. So you and I be concerned, even care about whether society around us is woke? Should we allow ourselves to be woke? Isn't social justice and equality a good thing? Those who are woke, they demand social justice. What is social justice? Oxford Dictionary Online defines it this way, quote, justice in the terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities and privileges within a society. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, everybody has the same fair things. That sounds pretty good. Google the term social justice. You'll find a little deeper meaning. Quote, social justice is defined as the way in which human rights are manifested in the everyday lives of people in every level of society. Did you catch that? Human rights. Not biblical examples, biblical principles from God, anything from God. Human rights. Proverbs 16:25, I'll read it, go to it. It's, most of us know this because it's repeated in Proverbs 14, verse 12 as well. Proverbs 16:35 says this: there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The NIV puts it this way, quote, there's a way that appears right, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, the ideas of being treated fairly and equally, no matter how a person chooses to live, that sounds good and right to a man, right? It's my life. I can do what I want, right? Doesn't that sound good to a man? But we know the end result, doesn't it? It's death, because it's based on human concepts. You know, social justice means that everyone, no matter their chosen lifestyle, must have the same legal and societal rights. If a boy decides he wants to be a girl that day, he should be allowed to go and shower with the girls, play on the same team with the girls. You know, when the girls have sleepovers or something, he should be allowed to, right? Anything less for him is not justice, right? This is the way of the world. This is social justice. However, they never think about the girls. What's just for them? Don't they have a right to be protected? No, they don't. Because all lifestyles are equal no matter how perverted they are. If you believe, if you're woke and you believe in social justice, you and I are supposed to be aware of the things going around us in this trend. And this trend of being woke in the cancel culture will have a tremendous effect on the Church of God as it continues. What we believe and what we teach and preach is not social justice. It's about God's justice. It's about, and it's not compatible, it is not compatible to what the world views as social justice, which means eventually we are going to be canceled. Let's go back to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7. It's this being canceled is really, it's not a new thing. Amos chapter 7, we'll start in verse 7. Amos was a prophet of God who lived in Bethel. Remember, Bethel, or Bethel, was where one of the two golden calves were put in. And as the northern tribes split across, split away from Judah. And Amos was a sheep herder. He wasn't a prophet. And Amos was not woke. He was not woke. And his message from God was not accepted by the priest in Bethel as well. This particular priest, he was one of the priests of the pagan golden calves. And Amaziah wanted Amos canceled. Amos chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall and made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate. And the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with a sword against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall be surely led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread and prophesy. Never again prophesy at Bethel. For this is the king's sanctuary and is a royal residence. What Amaziah tried to do, he tried to do the social media at the time, got a hold of the king. And then what did he tell Amos? Get out of town. Shut up and leave. Get out of Israel. We don't want to hear you. We want to cancel you. What did Amos do? Verse 14. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel. Do not spout against the house of Jacob. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, and your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by survey line, and you shall die in a defiled land. And Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Amos did not stop preaching the truth, even though he was threatened, even though they wanted to cancel him. He continued to teach what God had told him. There's a set of scriptures in the next chapter, Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that we used to read and talk about a lot. We don't talk about quite as much anymore, but it is waiting to be fulfilled. And I seriously believe this cancel culture of today will cause this to be happening. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Amos 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God. I will send a famine to the land. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. The famine of the word. There'll be a time in the future when we will not be able to have the Beyond Today program. We will not be able to have the magazine. We will not be able to have even a website. See how quickly it can be taken down. It's like, we have to Zoom on occasion, different areas. And people say, well, if we can't meet, we can Zoom. What happens when they take that away? Don't you think that could be taken away too? All this could be taken away and will be taken away as well. We know it's coming. Because what's stated again in this Bible will not be allowed to be heard. God's word does not promote social justice. And one day, we will be canceled. And again, we think it is a modern problem, but it's the same attitude that's been since the time of Amos as well. Satan never has to change his tactics. You ever think about that? He never has to change his tactics that he's used on mankind. From Adam and Eve to even after the millennium is over and he's released for a short time, he uses the same devices on mankind. That means you and I must be awake, and you and I must be aware of what is going on in our society around us. So how can we make sure we are awake? I have 3 points today I want to talk about the rest of the sermon so that we can be aware and help us to be aware of what is going on around us. The point number one, a very important point, we have to understand we cannot bring justice to the world, this world at this time. We cannot bring justice to this world at this time. It's an extremely important thing to remember. Every one of us here, I will guarantee you, greatly desires that man has peace and that man has justice, true justice. But in a world held under the sway of Satan, true justice and peace cannot be attained. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. We'll start in verse 1. Revelation 17, verse 1. The Bible very clearly calls the government of this world, all the things in this world, it's Babylon. And this whole world is under the influence of that government of Babylon. Revelation 17, starting in verse 1. Babylon is pictured as a woman full of incredible all kinds of evil, and all the world follows her. Revelation 17, starting in verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who came with the bowls came and talked to me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name is written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of the harlots and of all the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why do you marvel? I'll show you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast which you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go in perdition. And those who dwell in earth will marvel whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was and is and yet is not and is. So here it talks about that system. And what it says in verse 8, it says she was drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. Again, that's the ultimate cancel culture, isn't it? To kill the saints of God. Revelation 18, let's continue verse 1. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath and fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And verse 4, warning to us, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, yet you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. God very plainly tells us, do not be involved in the political systems of this world. We cannot reform this world. You and I cannot. It has to be, and sometimes you think about, and I've heard these terms, they'll say, we must burn it down. And you've heard this on news, we must burn the system down. You say, that sounds terrible, right? But the reality is, it must be burned, destroyed to the ground. Babylon as a system must be destroyed. And we're told that we must come out of this system, not allow ourselves to be pulled into it. Not a single person in office, not a single person running for office can change this system. It cannot happen. They may want to. They have great desire to. But they cannot change this system. Therefore, you and I should not put our trust in any political party or any person. Only Christ will have the ability to make the changes that bring true peace and true justice. Let's read what will happen to Babylon. Let's go ahead and continue to read on verse 6. That says, Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup where she is mixed, mix double for her. In the measure which she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torments and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sin as a queen, I am no widow, and I will see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death, and mourning and famine, and she shall utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Drop down 15, verse 15. And the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such a great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster and all those who traveled by ship, sailors and all as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance. And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning and saying, What is like this great city? Again, it's a system. And they threw dust on their heads and they cried out weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she was made desolate. Let's read what verse 20 says we should do. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged her on you, on her. We're told to rejoice when this happens. And why is that? Why should we rejoice when this system is finally destroyed at the return of Christ? Because finally, finally, the oppression of mankind will be done. They'll be finished. And finally, true justice, true peace, true freedom will be available for mankind. Not like we see today. That's why we're instructed to pray, your kingdom come. See that true peace coming. John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 33. We'll start. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he didn't try to change this world's way of doing justice when he walked on earth, did he? He did not try. That may say strange to the people in the world today who call themselves Christians. And most think that Jesus came to make this current world a better, a fairer place. But that's not what he said when Pilate asked him, was it? John chapter 18, verse 33. Then Pilate returned to the praetorium again, calling Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? For your nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, saying, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. This cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I shall bear witness to the truth. Everyone of the truth hears my word." You know, Jesus Christ very plainly said his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus Christ was not a social justice warrior. He was not. Because you cannot change. He knew this world's societies could not be fixed with a patch here or a patch there. And we know that as well. We know it's going to take God's government again to bring justice and peace. We celebrate that every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, don't we? So that's something we all need to remember. We cannot bring justice and peace to this world at this time. Let's go to another point, point number two. Point number two is you and I must be aware of Satan's devices. You and I must be aware of Satan's devices. And one of the most common devices that he uses is what? Lies and deception. Lies and deceptions. You remember he started out lying to Eve. Told her, "You won't die. You eat that, you know." And, you know, he deceived Eve. He lied to her about God. He told her that she wouldn't die from then on. All of mankind, including each and every one of us, were deceived by the lies from Satan. At one time, all of us were just as well. John chapter 8. Let's go back to just a few chapters. We'll read two verses, 43 and 44. John chapter 8. Where Jesus pled that Satan is the father of lies. And also he is a murderer. John chapter 8, verses 43 44. John 8, verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's what political correctness is. That's what being woke is. It's a lie and it's a deception. Think about that. How is it good to say Black Lives Matter, but it's horrible to say all lives matter? Think about that. Doesn't everyone who's ever lived and who will ever live matter to God? Don't they? Did not God of mankind come from the same physical parents, Adam and Eve? Every one of us came from them. Did not Jesus Christ give up his life for every single person who ever has lived or whoever will live? So why is it wrong to say all lives matter? Well, we know the reason. It's political. Because if you say all lives matter, what does that mean? It means you can't have abortions. You can't kill children. That is one of the biggest reasons they won't, not they politically incorrect to say all lives matter. If all lives matters, babies' lives matter. And that's why they went after it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So when we hear these things, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 4, we hear these things, we need to be aware of why they're saying these things. Why is it you can't say all lives matter? Because it is, again, lies and deception. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 4, Paul had warned the members here in Corinth that someone had been coming to the Corinthians and giving a different gospel. And it really bothered Paul that some seemed to be willing in the church to accept this different gospel. Verse 4. Let's start in verse 3. For I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by this his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Again, Paul was concerned they were putting up with different things. Who is preaching this different gospel? Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transfer themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. That's who is preaching a different gospel. False apostles, deceitful workers, pretending to bring light, but bringing darkness instead as ministers of Satan. And one of the different, and we'll say gospels, is called the social gospel. Anybody know what the social gospel is? So you can Google the social gospel and you'll see that many modern day Christian churches support the social gospel. It really got started here around the 1800s. But social justice, remember, is a human rights. Many churches now who promote this social gospel, they promote what is involved. And that includes supporting the feminist agenda, supporting the environmental agenda, supporting the LGBTQ agenda, supporting transgender agenda, supporting some even abortions. As quote, Christian churches who are supporting the social gospel. The idea is that a church can change the system of government to make it moral. It's a false gospel. You know, we have to be aware, again, when we hear these terms, social gospel, what is being involved in it? Satan can use our emotions. That's why we must be aware of his devices. Because who doesn't want love and peace? Who doesn't want love and peace? Well, we know actually Satan doesn't. But a human being, who doesn't want love and peace and justice for everyone? But if we're not careful, we can be led astray to a different gospel. And we must be very careful. So let's go to point number three. Point number three. One day we will be forced to make the choice. Obey God or obey men. One day we will be forced to make that choice. Probably a more dramatic way than we want. To obey God or to obey men. You know, we've seen it in this pandemic, how many governors and different authorities have taken away the rights we've enjoyed as Americans, especially in the religious rights. As a church, forbidding church services, but allowing protests or riots with no problem. We've seen that with no restrictions. Sooner or later, all of us have to make that decision. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is an excellent example of this. Daniel chapter 6. And we will start in verse 11. Verse 10, I'm sorry, Daniel 6, verse 10. You know, you had a group of political appointees here back in Daniel. They were jealous of Daniel, remember. They couldn't find any error in him except for one. That's how he worshiped God. That is the only error they could find in him. And they said that. So they'd had to attack him on how he worshiped God. Daniel chapter 6. And they convinced King Darius, you remember, to sign a law which forbid anyone to petition, or other translations say pray, to anyone but the king for 30 days. They had deceived, of course, because they hated Daniel. They're trying to kill him. And they convinced the king to do it. So what did Daniel do after hearing this? You know, they wanted to cancel things, what they want to do. Verse 9, therefore King Darius signed the written decree. Now when Daniel knew the signing was writing was signed, he went home. In his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as his custom was since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Daniel did what he had always did, didn't he? Now, think about what Daniel could have done. Let's think about this for a second. You know, is there a law saying you have to pray out loud to God? There's no commandment that you have to pray out loud to God, is there? You can pray it out. He knew if he was caught praying, what would happen to him? He'd be thrown in a den of hungry lions. And so you could say, well, he should have followed the law, right? As Christians, we're supposed to follow the law, right? He could have, you know, Daniel could have shut his windows, right? He could have shut his windows. He could have prayed quietly and silently to God. You know, again, I don't see any scripture that tells us you must pray out loud. He could have went in a closet, closed the door, did his prayer in a closet. He could have, right? And he, would that have been breaking God's law doing that? You know, I don't think so. He could have done it that way. After all, it was only going to be 30 days, right? And things are going to get back, as we hear, to normal. Whatever normal is. Daniel could easily say, well, look, I'll just go pray in the closet for 30 days. No big deal. After 30 days, the law's over. But he didn't, did he? He continued to do the way he had worshiped God. And it never stopped. He had to make a decision, didn't he? Would he worship God the way he had been doing? And again, he had to be praying out loud, right? For the men to hear him. So he had the windows open. People could hear him praying. He chose to disobey that law, didn't he? And to obey God. He was willing to pay the price. Now, I don't think Daniel probably knew when he did this that, well, yeah, God's going to save him. I'm going to throw in lions. That's okay. No, I don't think he knew that. I think he knew, I'm going to continue to worship God the way I'm supposed to, and I'll just deal with whatever comes. He had to do that. Acts chapter 5, New Testament. Acts chapter 5. Again, we have to think about these things. Sooner or later, we're going to have to make that decision. Are we going to obey God? Are we going to obey men? Again, Daniel, yeah, he could have just hid for 30 days, but he didn't do it. Acts chapter 5. Same thing happened to the apostles. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 22. Acts chapter 5, verse 22. God, as it said, was, quote, adding multitudes, both of men and women, to the church. The high priest and authorities didn't like that at all. And Peter and the other apostles were told, stop preaching about Jesus Christ. They're thrown in prison. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 22. When the officers, this is after they'd thrown in prison, when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut secretly, and the guards standing outside before the doors. When we opened them, we found no one inside. And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Then one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and preaching teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach this name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. And Peter and the other apostles answered, said that we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. And him God has exalted his right hand to be prince and savior and give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And also is the Holy Spirit which God gives to those who obey him. So we read what they did. So why didn't Peter and the apostles just say, okay, we've got to obey this command from the authorities. You know, we just got to do it. We won't preach in the temple anymore. We'll just preach maybe private homes or something like that. You know, again, as a Christian, shouldn't we obey the law? And yet they didn't do that, did they? They continued to do what God said and to preach the gospel there in the temple publicly. And of course, they were willing to pay the price for it, weren't they? The price is pretty expensive for all of them. You know, that's what we've seen in this pandemic. You know, different restrictions on churches. You can't meet, you can't sing, you can't do this, you can't do that. When do we make that choice that we have to say, no, I'm going to obey God and not man? I don't know. I can't tell you. Each individual has to make that choice. But again, is it get to the point we go on Zoom only and then they cut Zoom off? What do we do? It's just something we have to think about. Will we obey God or will we obey man? Eventually, all of us have to decide that, don't we? It gets to be an individual choice, what it really does. The time, again, we're all going to have to make that decision. And because of this attitude of wokeness and the hatred of the scriptures, and I'll just quote John 16, verse 2. This is going to happen. John 16, verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming. Whoever kills you will think he offers God service. We don't like to read that too much, do we? We don't. We like to see, it's like all of us, we like to see Christ returning. That in between is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. But all of us have to go through that. We have to make that decision. Again, I don't want to be discouraging to us today. But the things that is in our future, and we can see more and more that this is in our future. Of course, God will deliver. He promises deliverance. So we don't have to worry about that. And even if it costs us our lives, we're still delivered. So we can't allow ourselves to fall asleep. Remember the 10 virgins? All of them fell asleep. Four of them evidently didn't do anything at all. It did not have enough of God's spirit by doing things. We can't allow that to happen to us. We must be aware of these things going around us. And not just put our head in the sand. We have to be aware of what's going on. What does it mean? Why do they stop woke? What is the cancel culture? Think about what these things mean and what they portend for all of us and the church as well. Because you can see easily over the past 2 weeks what has happened. You could see that religious programs could be canceled just like that because it's not politically correct. It could happen just like, I don't know, you know, God knows what he's doing when he's going to do that. But it is going to happen eventually. It is going to happen. I'd like to finish up today by reading Romans 13. Romans 13, two verses. Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. Romans, verse 13. Chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And as we think about these things, we don't need to be scared, but we do need to be aware. We do need to be awake. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that is now, it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I like to read this from the New Living Translation. Quote, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Put on the shining armor of right living. You know, this our time is, if the time back 2,000 years ago, if it was close, it's a whole lot closer now, isn't it? We know that. It's a whole lot closer now. We must be awake. So I'd like to finish, ask you a question. Are you woke or are you awake?